each and every one tonight. And we do give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. And just to give you greetings from my brother Sven, I might be saying it right. It's hard to pronounce Sven from Norway. You remember the brother with the glasses? Am I saying it right now? A good brother anyhow, and he came over, preached for us one Wednesday night, and really brought a good message, and he sends his greetings to everybody at this time, praise God. Let us turn to Matthew 24, verse 45 to 47, and the other name for the Titanic was Olympus, and there was three ships built. Titanic was one of the three. When she was empty, before the people was in her, she weighed 46,000 tons. When she was in the water and everybody in her, she could weigh up till just over 52,000 tons. I thought that was something. To put that weight in water, and really the actual part of it, I think it was the part of it that drove it, weighed 100 tons. One of the parts on the ship weighed 100 tons, but just one part. That's absolutely massive. And they said she couldn't be sunk, but God sunk her. I tell you, when man makes a claim that he can do better than God, he finds out he can't, that he needs God. Isn't that right? We all need the Lord. Let's read verse 45 to 47. And we just want to continue on from this morning. Praise God. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household? They give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you again tonight, that we can come together in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you promised for two or even three of us is gathered in your name, that you will be in the midst and not to bless. Lord, I pray you'll bless each one that's made an effort to come out to hear your word tonight. For we know that your word is a blessing. Pray again for Brother Jeff and Sister Suzanne and the family. And especially Jeff's daughter this time, he'll continue to strengthen them and bless them and raise them up. In Jesus' precious name. Pray, Lord, for Matthew's uncle over in Scotland, that you'll save him, that you'll speak to him at this time. Lord, he's not in a good way and you know everything about him, but I pray you'll spur him and you'll save him. Yes, in Jesus' precious name. We asked also this evening, Lord, that for those maybe that couldn't be here, we pray for Brother Colin, he'll touch his back and you'll heal him in the name of Jesus. We pray for each one for unspoken requests tonight in this house, that you indeed will meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And again, bless your brother John in England. Use him for your glory, we pray. And Father, help us tonight in this service. Bless your word to our hearts. Teach us from the word of God this evening. Help us to be wise stewards. Help us to be in your will and in your work. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you that you do undertake in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. It's maybe seated. I want to say again at the start tonight, the coming of the Lord is imminent, meaning it's at hand. And returning home after a journey, Jesus used this illustration here more than once. He used an illustration of somebody going on a far journey and coming home. And here we've read tonight, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. And the Lord Jesus said in John 14, I am going away to prepare a place for you, but I'm coming again. These are not just the words of some man, but these are the words of the Lord himself. The Lord himself has made a promise that he is coming again. And the Lord's not a man that he should lie. And he keeps his word. So the Lord said in John 14, I am going away to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming again. And the man once said, that's right,
6 days to build this earth, and the seventh day rested. And the Lord's been away 2,000 years, and what a beautiful place the Lord's preparing for those that love Him. And the Lord is preparing a place for us, mansions in glory. Praise God. He says He's prepared for us mansions in glory. Not just a house, but a mansion. Amen. That's bigger than a house, isn't it? A mansion, to me, is like a castle. It's big. And the Lord's prepared for those that love Him mansions in glory. And He's promised He's coming back again. And He says here, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. We have to be faithful, and as a pastor or a preacher of this assembly, of any church, not just this fellowship, if there's 10 comes or 100, I must still be faithful. I have to continue on. And if some people come or some don't come, there's nothing I can do about that. I must remain faithful to the post of duty God's called me to. Remain faithful to the Lord. And the Lord's coming someday for those that's faithful to Him. We're not just Christians on a Sunday, but we're still a Christian on a Monday. Amen. I like the song, Willie McRae's song. I don't know if you ever found it. Smooth. Sunday morning only Christians. Who's ever heard about that? William McRae sang a great song about it. Some of them have to stay at home to clean noses. There's other reasons some stayed at home, but they all had an excuse. Excuses, excuses, he says. The devil hates a plain one every time. In order to keep folks away from church, he'll offer them excuses. When you say it's important to go to church, yes. The Word of God says gather often as you see the day approaching. And the day is at hand for the coming of the Lord's imminent. Jesus could come the day. So we're to gather often as we see the day approaching, often to the house of the Lord. And thank God we have somewhere we can come. Thank God we have somewhere we can come and pray and worship the Lord and hear the Word of God preached. Thank God for it. Verse 47, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. That's what's going to happen to the man, that the Lord comes and finds him faithful, God's going to bless that man. Praise God. It's not encouraging tonight. The return of such a master is imminent. That is, he ought to be expected at any moment. The Lord could come just any time now. There's a wee song sings that. The Lord could come just any time now. Praise God. And it is a faithful and wise servant who earnestly does his duty day by day, looking forward to his master's return. Are you looking forward for the coming of the Lord? Yeah. I'm going to tell you a wee story that Willie Mull told years ago. And this, I laughed when I heard this story. It's a true one. He said he worked for this, it was a big place, he worked for this man, and he's very well to do. And he said this man was away for a while. And he says when he was away, of course, they were at all sorts of wee tricks. And he says they had a wee horse or a pony. And he says he got one of the girls, maidens, talked into riding this pony. And they caught this pony. And of course, the man owned this pony. He was away. They thought he was away for a week or whatever time he was away for. And they caught this pony and the maiden got on this pony and was riding it. And who came up the driveway but the master of the house. And he caught them. And Willie Bull said they were shocked when he came back. They were caught on. And then he preached a message on the rapture, and Willie Mullen, when he preached that message, he said, when Christ comes, will you be caught up or caught on? Will you be caught up mucking about, or will you be caught on? And not mucking about, you're caught up, you'll be taken out. But mucking about, you know, when the Lord comes for his people, are they going to be ready? And the Bible warns us to be ready. And the Bible warns us to be faithful. And the Bible tells us if we're faithful in the small things, we'll be faithful in the big things. And thank God for faithfulness. And thank God for people that's faithful. Amen. People that's faithful to the Lord. And I tell you, the Bible says, whatsoever you put your hand forth to do, do it with all your might, as of unto the Lord. Praise God. But to those that say, my Lord delayeth his coming, that we might ought to expect him momentarily, now. No, and not just come right away. For such the Saviors, he talks about these things in all these parables. Now in Matthew 24, verse 48 to 51, but and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with a drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, excuse me, and appoint him as portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's many people today, they get lackadaisious Christians. They lie back, they sit back, they miss one service, then two services, then they get to be the hardly come to any services. And here's a perfect example here. And these are parables that the Lord himself preached. Jesus give us these for examples, that we could look at these so that we would know what to do. So that we'd be ready for the Lord's coming. And the Lord's warning us that we're not to be lackadaisy. And the Lord's warning us that we're not to be like the world, to drink and do all the things they're doing, but we're to keep holy to the Lord and prepare ourselves for Jesus could come today. When we look at this, really, one who says, my Lord delayeth his coming, is not right in his heart. And when a man says, my Lord delayeth his coming, his heart's not right. Because if his heart was right, he would have a hope, and that hope's the coming of the Lord. He's not anxious for Jesus to come. Perhaps he's not willing for Jesus to come, and therefore does not watch. We should be anxious for the Lord to come. You know, those of us that's married, and perhaps were married a long time, some of us more than others, but you know, when you were courting, and whether he was coming to see you or she was coming to see you, I'm sure you're anxious to see them coming. I used to ring my wife once a week. It's comical now, really. You know, when you see all these mobile phones and stuff, and I've one myself now, and I see people even though they're out jogging or walking a dog, they can't do it without a phone. And the phone's going walking the dog. Whatever they do, it's not the truth. But you think of it. I used to ring the wife. You know when I rang the wife? After church, every Sunday night, I rang her from a mobile phone box outside Dromore, the Red Row on the Lurgan Road. And I used to go away down to the Red Row and I'd ring her once a week. And I was late one week. And her brother said she kicked the cat and got a bit upset that I hadn't rang her that night. I was a bit late in ringing. Her brother told me all about it. But anyhow, once a week I rang her. And you think of that. But she was anxious for me to ring her. Now, I'm not a good writer. That's why I like this here. If I wrote something, you could hardly read it. It's good to go to school, boys, and learn to read and write. But I'm not a good writer. But my wife's every letter I wrote to her. And I wrote her a brave lot of letters. And I'm sure if you're honest tonight, you were anxious when he was coming for you. And she was anxious when you were coming for her, vice versa. Now, how much should it be for the Lord? If we say that we love the Lord, and we know the Bible says he loves us and gave himself for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever, there's your provision. A brother of faith prayed it this morning, or mentioned it. The ark, they didn't go on, but the provision was there for them. There was no excuse. And there's provision today in Christ. Provision for a thousand worlds. That's how I believe it. Provision for all. Now I want to just say this in a note. Now you know I have to prepare. I don't know who coming to service. But sinner take warning. This is what I've wrote in my notes here. Sinner take warning. Every time the Lord Jesus tells of a soon return, there's a thrill and a joy for the Christian. When we hear the Lord saying, I'm coming again, it thrills our heart. Amen. What do I want to stay here for? Right. In the condition this world's in. And the condition your young ones have to grow up in. today, and people talk about this and that, but there's things today to tempt young people that there was never before. It's not the truth. And there's things they see that we would never see. And there's things to overcome we never had in our time. And and some that's even older than myself. 50 now. 50, I'm telling you now. 50, when you're 50, you're doing well if you get another 50, aren't you? 70, you're allotted. And then 10 extra for reason of health, 80. 70 years, you're allotted on 80 for reason of health. And after that, you're in a bonus. That's the word of God. Time goes. And no matter who you ask, if you ask someone that's older than you, they'll tell you that the older you get, the faster it goes. And I tell you, these young fellas and young women, if the Lord doesn't come in our time, the next thing, they'll be grown in another generation. But we have to believe the Lord's coming today. And we have to be ready for the coming of the Lord. For no man knows the day nor the hour when the Lord will come. And I want you to see this. This thrills a Christian when he hears the Lord's coming. And yet there is a solemn and fearful thought for the unsaved. For the unsaved, the coming of the Lord's not a thrill. For the unsaved, it's nothing to be joyful about. For they're not ready. The unsaved man's not ready for the coming of the Lord. The unsaved woman's not ready for the coming of the Lord. And when the Lord takes his people home, all those that's near and dear to us that's not saved are going to be left. And that should cause us to weep and pray and seek God for their salvation. I really believe that. I believe we should be tender-hearted towards them that's lost, that need saved. And I believe we should be praying for them like never before when we have this hope and this joy that the Lord's coming, and pray that God will save them. The Bible says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus said, remember that all the world except 8 souls perished in that terrible flood because of the wickedness of which they didn't want to repent of. God said, repent of them that he made man. Let's turn it into our Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 6 and look at it. Genesis 6 and verse 14. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now I want you to think of that scripture tonight and tell me, is that not today? Tell me, when people that are politicians rejoice in the fact that they're going to legalize murder, and they boast about it and blow about it, as if they've achieved some great achievement, but they're going to commit death. They're going to do the thing God's against. And every Christian should be against. And I do believe we need to pray for those in authority, that God will give them the wisdom and the blessing to make the right decisions, that it'll not turn out the way it's looking. God can change it. You believe that tonight? God can change it. But you see, this picture is right at the start of your Bible, but yet it's a picture of today. You would think you're reading about today when you read this, because Jesus told us it would be like that. Jesus says, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be. Repeat it again. Wickedness. And then talk about identifying. There's this new thing now where they don't want to identify as a man and they don't want to identify as a woman. And they're non-binary. Now I can't get my head around any of it. And I'm sure you can. But it's a devil. It's a spirit. You know the story well. Where William Branham was preaching. And right in the middle of a sermon, it's really abruptly. It's abruptly. When you listen to sermon, it's abruptly. He's preaching, and all of a sudden his tone of his voice changes and he shouts out, "Soldier boy, the devil's lying to you, don't kill yourself." And you hear this over the whole message. And he shouts it out several times, "Soldier boy, the devil's lying to you, don't kill yourself." And then he continues on with the message. And then as he's in a restaurant later that day, this man had followed him. And he comes over to him wanting prayer for this man. And this man was a soldier. And he was leading a secret lifestyle, married and had children, but he had another life that nobody knew about. I'm not going to go into the detail, but you adults know what I'm talking about. And Brother Branham said, "Certainly, brother, when we finish your tea, I'll pray for him." And then Brother Briscoe was with him, and he said, "Now, Brother Briscoe, I wouldn't tell you any of this if you knew." And he says, "No, I don't know." And then he tells him everything because he sees a vision. And he says, "You see, it's a complex. It's a spirit that's gripped him." And then he took him to the side, out of the restaurant, and he took this young man to the side. And Brother Branham revealed the secret to him that nobody could know, only God. And when he revealed the secret to him, he threw his arms up and he shouted, "I'm free! I'm free! I'm free!" And God delivered him. That's why I know God can deliver anybody. For God delivered that man. I tell you, I think that's wonderful that God could do that. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at these days, verse 6. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the face of the earth. And it grieved him in his heart," verse 7. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the earth, for it repented me that I have made them." Verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Noah found grace. It's wonderful when you find grace. And there's only one place you can find grace, and that's in the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you can find grace. Then it goes on to say, "These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God." He was like Enoch. Noah walked with God. And Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not, for the Lord took him. And here's Noah was carried over in the tribulation. What a wonderful type here tonight. What a wonderful picture. How God saved his elect. Praise God, he's going to do it again. "And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." So God is saying, "I'm going to destroy them, and I'm going to destroy the earth." Verse 14, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." I tell you, God made provision for his people. It's like a brother mentioned this morning, provision was made, but they didn't want it. They didn't want it. There was a way of safety, there was a place of safety, but they didn't want it. Jesus could come today. The coming of the Lord is imminent. When the Lord takes his bride away, many will be left to face the great tribulation. It's real. People will be saved during the tribulation, but at a cost. And you know, it's during the tribulation that God turns back to the Jews.
Revelation tells us that. And the body will lay in the streets for 3.5 days. And God will raise him up. And you can find, for William Branham says, they'll hear the same Pentecostal message we heard. That's what he says. Jesus would come today. Now let me read you a few scriptures. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Type of the church. You see it tonight. The true bride of Jesus Christ is saved. She doesn't go through the tribulation. Thank God for that tonight. A time of Jacob's trouble. There's a tribulation coming to this world that's never been seen before. There's a time coming where they'll cry out for the rocks to fall on them and kill them. They'll want to die and can't die. It's nothing to rejoice in for the unsaved man or woman. But it's something for us to rejoice in. We're going to escape it. We need to be ready today, for Jesus may come today. Don't live another day without Christ. Come to the Savior today. Now I want you to see the objections answered. Now I haven't time to go into everything tonight. You know, when I got back into this today, and then I got into Daniel 70 weeks. And you get into Daniel 70 weeks, you cannot do it justice in a few minutes. You can't do it. It would take weeks. There's so much in it. There's no way I could do it justice tonight. We'd be here all night and you still couldn't do it. And I'm not going to even try it. I'm going to stick with what I'm trying to bring. But if the Lord lead, you pray for me, because I've been thinking for a long time that I'd like to go really into Daniel 70 weeks. Go really into it. Because it's all to do with the end time and the coming of the Lord. Jesus could come today. None of us want to miss that joyous and blessed hope. Matthew 24:14. Here's what it says. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Now people would say, that's never happened yet. But I could show you a scripture in the book of Acts. And that's a long time ago where it has happened. You say, could you? Could. Now, I'm not just saying that's it. I know it's to happen more. But you could take that scripture. There's many scriptures. When you read the book of Acts, it says the Spirit fell onto them. And they preached to them in their own language till every nation wherein they were born. So the gospel has went till every nation. The gospel has went across the world today. The world's without excuse. Where has the gospel not went? Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Remember that there are two phases of the coming of Christ. Remember that. First, he will come in the air and call the saints, the bride, to meet him in the air. That's the first phase. The first phase is we're going to meet him in the air. But there's another part to it. From that first phase, there's happenings that take place. There's a tribulation that sets in. And there's a coming back with him. We'll meet him in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This is the first part of his coming. The part always referred to by the Lord himself when he said, watch. Therefore, this is the part. The meeting of the Lord in the air is the bit that Jesus refers to. Watch, therefore. The Lord warns us. He gives us the parable of the 10 virgins. Many people say it's not for the believers, but we know it is. You can preach it for the unsaved as well. As a text, there's nothing wrong with that. But we know it's talking to believers as well. And you know scripture's a compound meaning. This is the first part.
always referred to by the Lord. Watch, therefore, we know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. On similar statements, then on the earth there will be an intervene the 70th or last week of Daniel's prophecy. I'm going to read you that tonight. And I'm just going to give you a couple of nuggets because we have not grown up time to go into it all. Let's turn to Daniel 9, verse 27. Daniel 9. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. Now I want you to get these 7 weeks in verse 25 of Daniel. And 62 weeks the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off. So the Messiah is cut off in the midst of the week. Now when did Jesus' ministry start? When he was 30. How many knows the Bible says that? Now we're not saying he didn't do things before this. I've explained this before. But you can read in your Bible, Jesus was about 30 and his ministry began. You can read that. It's in the Bible. And then you read, when he's 33 and a half years old, he's cut off in the midst of the week. So that leaves 3.5 years left. And 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. When the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant of many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now I can take a tax from there and preach to the night, Calvary. Now understand what this is saying here. The sacrifice has to be cut off in the midst of the week. Because you know when Jesus Christ was on the cross, and he said, it's finished. That the veil of the temple was rent in the twain from the top to the bottom. And the sacrifice they were performing in the Old Testament tabernacle ceased. No longer accepted for God. The Lord says, now this is a new living way. And you know the priest was shocked because before him, as he's going into the tabernacle, the veil rent in front of him. From the top to the bottom. How many understands what I'm saying here? Verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant of many for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause a sacrifice to bless the cease. And for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now there's a lot in this. There's no way I could go into it all tonight, but just to read you just a few things. Listen to this. From the first scene. Now the 70 weeks was determined perfectly. As Daniel said, Messiah would come and would be cut off in the midst of the week. And Jesus prophesied 3.5 years. Now in the midst of this, 3.5 years of Daniel, in the midst of it, he was cut off. But now the last part is the tribulation period. Where the Gentile church, oh, this is great. The bride goes with the groom. After the millennium, walks out upon the ashes with the wicked. So she goes in the rapture for 3.5 years, the honeymoon. But when the bride of Jesus Christ goes, tribulation comes in. And how many say? There's 140,000 Jews saved. 144,000. Saved. 144,000. Now we know that the Mormons are the Jehovah's Witnesses. They believe they're them, but we know they're liars. I asked one of them one day, I said, how many converts have you now? And he named a number. I said to them, what about your claim that you have 144,000? Who picks which ones go in? I said, see, all your stuff's false. The 144,000 of Jewish people that God's going to save during the tribulation, remember. And remember that the Jews already sacrificed souls that lay under the altar shouting, how long? And these are only some of the things that's come out. These are the truths God's brought out, you know. Now let me read you this again. That's the first thing. Questions and answers. Now even his wife was in the palace, the time that the bride will be in the palace in glory at the time, then Jesus makes himself known to the Jews, see. And he's talking about Joseph being made known to his brethren. You know, when Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, he wept. And they were shocked it was Joseph. How many knows this? This is a type of Christ revealing himself to the Jews. And you know the scripture says that Jesus, in appearing to them, and in saying, they'll say, where did you get these marks in your hands? And it's in the house of my friends. Listen to this now. Then Jesus makes himself known to the Jews, see, after the wedding ceremony. So what about these people saying, well, we're doing the wedding ceremony? No, they're not. They're not. That's nonsense. That's after the rapture. You can call whatever you want now, but that's after the rapture. According to the Bible and God's prophet, and I believe them both, over some boy's idea. Do you not? Certainly. Amen. The 3.5 years on Jacob's trouble, the 3.5 years, the end of the 70 week of Daniel. So the sacrifice is cut off in the middle of the week, that leaves 3.5 years. So when Jesus comes back and takes his bride away, 3.5 years is left of tribulation. And we have the honeymoon and the wedding, and he reveals himself to the Jews. Now here's the problem. People are not preaching that. There's people preaching, you go straight up and come straight down, because they think they're Israel. And they're not Israel. And I don't want to go into all that tonight, anyhow. He's no less wrong. The Messiah to be cut off in the midst of the way, because he prophesied 3.5 years and was cut off then. There's 3.5 years left yet for their prophets, Moses and Elijah. Then at the end of their 70 days, as yet determined upon the people, as Daniel said, then at the end of the 70 days, Jesus to make himself known to them, he's that prince that should come to the Jews. When's he coming back with us? You know you're coming back with the Lord. You're leaving here and you're meeting him in the air, and you're going to go home to be with the Lord 3.5 years. It's going to be a ceremony. It's going to be a wedding. It's going to be 3.5 years. Then we're coming back with him, and he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives and shall split right in two back. The brethren preached this years ago, you know. And I'll tell you now, they were right. Maybe not some of many believed 7 years and all that, but a lot of things they preached was 100% right with this Bible. And that's going to be the meeting place. How many knows that? Why do you think they're all against Israel? Why do you think they're trying to blow Israel off the map? And you know that Rome will team up with Israel. Rome. The two monies come together. And the man of sin, the Antichrist, makes a pact with them. And he'll sit in the temple of God, supposing himself to be God. And they'll rebuild that Jewish temple. And they'll re-offer in the sacrifice that stopped. They're going to re-offer it. But God can't accept it. Can't be accepted. How many knows that? There's only one offering that can be accepted before God.
Now, I'm almost finished. I don't want to keep you as long tonight. How many would enjoy that if I went into that more sometime? You don't realize the hours and time you could spend on studying them. I'm telling you, hours and hours. I don't mean a couple of hours now. I mean hours. Just waiting before God and praying and reading it and studying it and going over all the different scriptures. It can take hours to do it. Hours and hours and hours. That's why God's people should be faithful. And the Lord wants you to know these things. You say, I don't need to know these things. God wants you to know them. God wants you to be instructed. God wants you to know these things. The Bible says those that know their God will be strong and do exploits. Did they say that hurt not the oil of the wine? And the wine speaks of stimulation, and stimulation represents revelation. And God wants us to have revelation, true revelation. The Lord's coming again. Do you realize how close we are tonight to the coming of the Lord? When the bride of Jesus Christ goes, a lot of things that God's holding back on, He's going to plunge in this world. You realize that? In one sense of it, we're stopping the wrath of God. The true people of God are. But when God takes His bride away, everything's hitting this earth like never before. Great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. And that man of sin is going to really be revealed. You don't see nothing about him yet the way you're going to. Now we know who he is. But he's going to really go in with Israel. And they're going to all unite. And they're going to all come together. And all the churches is going to come on under one great umbrella. We see it already in the so-called ecumenical movement. And many great preachers in this country for years preached against it. And many places years ago that were against it are now in it. It's all coming together. And there's going to be a real shakedown. And God's going to have a real people that's going to stand for Him. And I tell you, they're going to make this pact. They're going to rebuild the temple. They'll rebuild that Jewish temple. They bred the red heifer. They have the menorah. They have all the things. You know, the golden altar. All the things. They have everything set and ready to do it. Who remembers when Andrew talked about the mosque was in the way, the Jewish mosque, one night here quite a time back. He talked, look, you see that Jewish mosque and all them things that's in the way. Don't you worry about that when the time comes. All it'll take is one zealous Jew with a bomb, and that'll be gone overnight. That's all it's going to take. And you know the world we're living in, that could happen just any time. No problem at all. And they're going to rebuild the temple, and they're going to have everything back in the temple, and they're going to have the sacrifice and everything, because you see, they still deny the Lord because they're blinded. The Jews are going to do it because they're blinded. They're still blinded. It amazes me if people claim we're part of the lost tribe, because if they are, they're blinded. God's a message for the Jewish people. Moses and Elijah's bringing it. And once the bride goes, God will concentrate on them. God will turn them. And the veil that was over them, God will take off them. And the Bible says they'll cry to God and they'll be saved in one day. God will save them. Is it even one hour, says? One hour. That'll be a revival, won't it? And God will feed 144,000 and just like that. Just in 1 hour. We believe in the words of Jesus. The gospel must be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. Now here's Pentecost. At the day of Pentecost, we are told, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. That is, those who had come to abide there temporary during the feast, probably from the time of the Passover through Pentecost. We're told that these all heard the gospel through the Spirit-filled men in their own language when they were born. God's message has crossed the world. It's went into every nation. It's went into the jungles of Africa. Into the places where it never thought it would go. It's went. Faithful men.
ago, I had an old film of it. Anybody ever see that? Man was wonderful. And they got Lester Simmerall and went out there, and there's a tribe, a heathen tribe, and they worshipped a wooden god. I had it on film, an old tape. And they worshipped a wooden god. Now you know Lester Simmerall was anointed man of God. He came up under Smith's Wigglesworth. He met Wigglesworth. And Wigglesworth prayed for him that all the gifts that would be in him would come in Lester Simmerall. And Lester Simmerall said something happened. The power of God was through him. Just like George Jeffreys and Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke met George Jeffreys when he was an old man. And they weren't going to let him see him. And he heard this booming voice. Let him come in. And George Jeffreys prayed for Reinhard Bonnke. And Reinhard Bonnke said there was like hot oil went through his whole body. The power of God went through him. Prayed for by a man of God. But Simmerall went out and they couldn't even go in vehicles or anything. The donkeys loaded. And they walked these mountains. I don't know how long it took them. All day. And they got away up to this tribe. It was an old film I had. When they got up there and he was laying in his bed. He was exhausted after the journey. And the witch doctor came out that evening. And there's a wee girl was dying. She had some sort of a fever. She's almost dead. She couldn't move. They could do nothing for her. And he got his wooden gauze and he enchanted to them. And he danced round the fire half naked. And they painted their faces and all these things. Nothing could be done. Lester Simmerall, tired and rose of his bed and come out. And said in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and behold. And immediately a power of God hit her. God healed her on the spot. And I can see that old witch doctor, I'll never forget it. And he run about the place like a headless chicken for about 5 or 10 minutes. And he gathered up all his wooden gods and all his wooden junk he had. And he burnt all of them. And he said, lead me to this Jesus. And the whole tribe was converted in one meeting. Because of one glorious miracle. That's the witness of the gospel there. This gospel must be preached as a witness. Not a lecture. But a witness. That's a real witness. Brother Brown told us that. That's a real witness. And it's demonstrated. Men like Tommy Osborne caught the fire of God. Went to one service, caught the fire of God. Caught the vision of God. And they went out to India. And you know how many false religions there is in India. There's hundreds of them. And they worship animals and they drink blood. They do all sorts of stuff. I have loads of videos on it. Old films on it. The films of Tommy Osborne preaching when he's a young man. And I want to tell you, the power of God's on it. And I hear people blighting men like that. I tell you, they'll answer to God for that. And there he stood and he preached a simple message. And at the end of it, prayed a prayer. And blinded eyes come open. Cripples were straightened. Lame walked, the deaf heard. That's a witness to the power of the gospel. I tell you, God's no excuse today. The people's no excuse today. God has demonstrated his power. Look at the ministry William Branham had. Think of it. Consider it for one moment. At the end of this service tonight, the ministry that God gave him. They said it was like being with Jesus, been with him. And he said they won't walk across the streets of Phoenix tonight to hear it. And then what's that prophet say? He said every time a messenger goes off the scene, they'll organize it and it dies and God moves on. And it's happened again in our time. Men have organized it and God can't be organized. But the gospel remains unchangeable. Amen. Thank God for the gospel. Jesus could come today. Coming of the Lord is imminent. The Lord could come today. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? I know I have people I love and they're not ready. I know they're not. I want to see them ready. If the Lord comes. You think when we go, our loved ones just went on before us. You're going to meet them again. Change back to young people. Oh, glory to God. Change through. Think of it. Think when you're at your peak in life, at your best. Change back to young men and women. People we knew that were old. I knew a man. He was quite an age of a man. I witnessed to him. I told him I could see him. He knew my life. He lived across from me. I gave him a track and he told me, Alfie Gregg, he was called. Says Tommy, he says, I prayed that wee prayer in that track. And I'm saved. Over 80 years of age, God saved him. I'll tell you, I'm going to see Alfie again. But he'll not be over 80, he'll be a young man. Think of it. I tell you, God's great. All our loved ones that's went on before, we're going to see them. It's a time to rejoice, a time of joy. Let's stand our feet tonight and give God the praise. Amen. Brother's going to come in a moment. I don't know if he knows that song. I'm thinking of that glad millennial day. When a blessed Lord shall come to catch his waiting bride away. Ain't that some song? While their heads are bowed tonight, while their eyes are closed and their heads are bowed tonight, if you want prayer in this service, lift your hand up to the Lord and I'll pray for you as we close. Maybe someone listening in and you need God's touch. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. He's still a healer. He's still a savior. He's still a baptizer of the Holy Ghost. And he is the coming King. Jesus could come today. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your gospel. Thank you tonight that you're the same yesterday, today and forever. I thank you tonight you've never changed. You said, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. The same yesterday, today and forever. Heavenly Father, I pray you bless every hand that's raised in this room tonight. I pray, God, you'll stir our hearts. Lord, and you'll stir us up that we'll be ready and watching and waiting for the glad millennial day when our blessed Lord shall come to catch his winning bride away. Oh, Lord, we would sincerely plead the blood of Jesus tonight over all that's near and dear to us. Lord, save that young man. Save that young woman. Save that older man. Save the older woman. Move upon them and speak to them. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Father, this evening get thyself all the praise and all the glory. Help us, Lord, to preach Christ and him crucified. Help us to preach the gospel. Lord, we know that you've demonstrated that we preach the truth. If you promise, you'll do it. You promise that these signs shall follow them that believe. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ tonight, whatever the needs are in this room, that you'll meet every need. Touch my brother, touch my sister, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, there's someone listening in tonight that needs a miracle in the body. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you'll touch them now and heal them, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, if someone's listening in that's not ready to go, may they call upon the name of the Lord and get saved. Lord, you promised it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we thank you for that glorious message tonight. Lord, whosoever includes everybody, excludes nobody. You said whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Father, this evening, bless your people. Bless your brothers. He leads us songs tonight. Help us, Lord, to worship and praise your name. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one.